Okay, good evening.
Good evening.
First of all, tonight is Yom HaShoah.
Yeah.
So, if we're already in Yom HaShoah, we have to mention it. And this is, unfortunately, a part of our history through the generations. Every generation's got his own, let's say, Holocaust. And this Holocaust that we are remembering today, tonight, and tomorrow is one of the most terrible ones. But as we say in Pesach, "Bechol dor vador kamim aleinu lechaloteinu," every generation they get up and they want to finish us out. "V'akadosh Baruch Hu matzireinu miyadam," the Kadosh Baruch Hu is there. Of course, there are a lot of questions and how can it be? And there are people that came out of the Holocaust survivors. Some of them become unbelievable. Don't believe in anything anymore. And some even got stronger in belief, seeing miracles all around them. You cannot judge nobody. You cannot judge those who decided to leave the religion and become whatever. Because what they went through is something that is not even, you cannot even describe it. Because when you tell the stories, you don't believe them. You have to be there in order to understand this beastly behavior of human beings. And I always remember when I've been in an exhibition and there was somebody in front of me who was selling carpets or whatever, and we were talking, and he really hated all the religion. He hated the Haredim, but what puzzled me that he hated also the Esdernikim. So as they play a game, they don't do armies how they're supposed to do. And then he got to a moment that he says, "My father is a survivor from the Holocaust, and he hates three things: the Poles, the Germans, and on top of everything, God. Hates God." So now I understood his behavior and the way he was talking. And the real truth is, if you hate something, it means that you believe in it. So at the end of the day, even those who, let's say, left the religion and thing, deep inside, they're believers. They just don't understand how it could be that God allow a thing like this to happen. We also cannot understand everything. But that's not our job to understand. We have to deal with what we've got in front of us and understand and believe that this world is only a passageway. And if you really believe in it, you understand that whatever you go through here, it's nothing. It's not the real world. It's like playing a video game. And through this game, you went through a procedure like this, like that. Eventually, the idea is to get to the next world. If you believe in this, really deeply believe in it, so you have no problem with what's going around. You can ask questions. There is no problem. You can ask questions. You can try to understand. There are a lot of people that try to find the reason why the Holocaust happened. But the real truth is that everything is written and everything was told to us long time ago. God asked us not to mingle with the goy. It's a very simple thing. And whenever we try to mingle with the goyim, terrible things happened. It's not, you cannot stand up and say, that is the reason, because it's not right to do it. But those who believe understand that that's the picture. For example, when we talk about the Holocaust, it all started when the Germans gave the Jews the freedom to do whatever they want to. They were the first one. You have to understand, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Because all the other countries, Jews were not allowed to do a lot of things. Also in Germany. But one day, the German government decided, from this day on, we give every citizen in our country the freedom to decide what to do, when to do, and how to do. So Jews suddenly were allowed to go to university, which they were not allowed before. They were allowed to do certain things they were not allowed to do before. And the funny thing is that this country, this civilized mm-hmm. country, this unbelievable country, became turned suddenly to a terrible beast. And this country who gave freedom to the Jews is the country that later on wanted to destroy the whole Jewish nation. Which is just showing you the real picture. Because what happened is, the minute that the Jews got the freedom to do what they wanted to do, they started to mingle with the Goyim. And there were intermarriage. And there was a lot of... the Rashar Hirsch, Reb Shimshon Raphael Hirsch Zatzal, he wrote a whole book about answering, like it was like letters written to him, like a young guy, that like he's asking question on the Torah, like the Torah is ancient, it's primitive, and the Rashar Hirsch, he answers the question in order to make his belief to understand that the Torah is eternity. And the Torah is not primitive, on the contrary, the Torah is advanced more than anything else in the world. Because he had to do this. Reb Shimshon Raphael Hirsch saw what's going to happen. He knew what's going to be happening. And when you read the way he writes and explains things, you see inside the lines that he realizes that something terrible is going to happen. Chafetz Chaim, by the way, also saw those things coming. Because it was very simple. We say it on Pesach, Va'omar lach bedamai chayi, Va'omar lach bedamai chayi. I told you that you are going to live with your blood. You have two options. One is the blood of the Brit Milah, blood of Korban Pesach, and the other option is other sacrifices.
You are the Korban.
You are the Korban. And the thing is, Ani Hashem ma'ale etchem eretz Mitzrayim, in the last parsha it's written, I raise you up from Egypt. I don't take you out, motzi otchem. I raise you up. There is a reason why God took us out of Egypt. To elevate us. We are the chosen people. And we have to behave accordingly. And the minute we don't behave like this, don't be amazed of what's happening. I'm saying, I'm not telling it as an excuse or a reason, because we really cannot understand it. Because it's so terrible that there are no explanations. The thing is that if we meet somebody who went through the Holocaust, he's a saint. And it doesn't matter what he does. And you have to behave with him like this. No matter what he says and what he thinks. Because what he went through, if he's still here with us, he's a saint. And we ask question, how is it that big rabbis and big tzaddikim also were killed? But that's again, it's the same old story. When a plague comes, it takes everybody. And nevertheless, sometimes one tzaddik is being taken instead of hundreds of thousands of other people. But that's not our calculation. We just have to remember this terrible time in our history and learn the lesson. And understand and realize that it doesn't matter what, nobody can destroy Am Yisrael. Nobody. From the other side, we have to learn the lesson, understand that it demands from us something also. We are Jews. We're supposed to be the light of the world. So in a day like this, we have to remember all those who were killed because they were killed, they were murdered, we are here. Because one of the things is that after the Holocaust, Medinat Israel, the state of Israel came. And it wouldn't happen if there was no Holocaust. Because nobody wanted to give us a country. But that's all small things. What we have to remember, that in this Holocaust, when you hear the stories of some of the survivors, and you see the spirit of the Jewish people. You see, this is something that no other nation's got. course, there are people that behave badly, and we cannot judge them. But there were other people that it doesn't matter what was happening. They were behaving like human beings, which is unbelievable.
That they survived and lost a family of children, wife and children, and then were able to carry on.
I'm saying that there is something that we cannot understand. We cannot understand it. We are privileged today. We have grandchildren that know the grandparents. You know, people came to the Holocaust, they lost everything.
Yes.
No grandparents, no parents, no brothers, no sisters. And they started everything from scratch, from nothing.
Yes, it's miraculous.
So we have to remember this. This is a part of our history and we should remember it. But it also has to give us the power to go on. Because when we hear all those unbelievable stories, one of the stories I always remember is, I don't remember the names, I've got problems with names. It was this great rabbi, and I went with Theresienstadt, one of the concentration camps, and it was Hanukkah. And he was lighting the candles of Hanukkah in all this shade, whatever it was, everybody standing behind him, and he's doing the blessing. Latikner, Shasanisim, and then he says, Shechianu. And one of the people came to him later on and says, Rabbi, you know, I understand that you light the candles of Hanukkah. I understand you say Ananisim. I understand you say Ladlikner Hanukkah. But I cannot understand how can you say Shechianu v'kiyemanu v'igyanu l'zman hazeh? What? You thanking God
that you came
to a concentrator's camp that you don't even know if tomorrow you're going to live? And all your family is dead, were murdered, tortured. How can you say Shechianu on a time like this? And you know what the rabbi answered him? He says, you know, when I wanted to say Shechianu, I thought the same thought you're thinking. He says, how can I say Shechianu in a place like this, in a time like this? Is this Shechianu? How can I say God that I'm blessing this time and I'm happy to be here in the concentration? And then I turned around to look at the people behind me, and I saw all those eyes looking with light in their eyes, and I said, to see this Jewish spirit in a time like this, how everybody is looking at the candle of Hanukkah and shouting amen, and they have this hope in their eyes and this glitter in their eyes. They are Jewish. This is Shechianu. To see a spirit of a Jewish nation in the worst time raising the head and blessing the candles of Hanukkah, this is Shechianu. So in every time there is a point, how do you look at things? We are in Parashat Tazria Metzora. We have two parashiot. And those parashiot really are talking about mainly the Metzora. Tzaraat. Leprosy. Leprosy, by the way, is something that really doesn't exist today, because what we call leprosy today is not the leprosy of the Torah. And one of the main questions is, if this is the case, why is the Torah talking about leprosy? And details and more details. Two parashiot are talking about it. And if we haven't got it today, the Torah is, as we said 2 minutes ago, it's eternity. It's not something primitive or a history book that happened years ago. So why do we talk so much about leprosy if it doesn't exist? So the real truth is, it doesn't exist the way we think it's supposed to, but it exists. Because you see, the Torah is not, as we say always, there is the surface and there is the inside. And by the way, that's exactly the idea of the leprosy. Because the main sign of the leprosy is hair. When the hair turns from black to white. Well, what's the hair? The hair comes from inside and grows outside. In other words, it connects the inside with the outside. And when you look, Sometimes you are all rotten inside. But from the outside, you look unbelievable. You know, like you go, you go to certain places and you see somebody, like on this holiday, I saw a few people that they wearing this frock of a rabbi and a hat, and they look like rabbis. And you know, some of them are not really, no, it's a custom. It's not the inside, it's only on the outside. So the air shows the people, the person, you know, something is wrong with you inside. And if you don't see it, I let everybody see it. It will grow from inside, outside, and everybody will see that you've got leprosy. Unfortunately, today we are at such a low level, because as I said, what's the idea of leprosy? One of the main things is lashon hara. You talk badly on people. So what the Torah is telling you, badad yeshev michutz lamachane, you have to sit alone by yourself outside the camp. If we do this today, everybody will be outside and there's nobody in the camp. Because, you know, we talk lashon hara like it's nothing. Like it's so in other words, there is no reason for the leprosy as we see it in a simple way to exist today. We need something else. And we have it. What is leprosy? Leprosy is a nega. Nega. Nega is, I don't know how to translate it to English. Attached. Nega.
Nega?
No, nega is to touch.
Yeah.
Nega is to touch. Negaim, lingua. It's from the same
Shorish.
So in other words, what is it really? God touching you in order to make you do tshuva, look at yourself, change your ways, like a father who loves his children. And sometimes he has to punish them. Because if he's not going to punish them, they're not going to do the right thing. And sometimes the kids don't see what they did wrong. So you have to show them what they did wrong. And sometimes even, while you do this, who is more in pain? The child or you?
You.
Who is something crying inside while he's punishing his children?
The father.
And that's the same way that God feels with us. When he does it with love. And that's what we have to think. Whatever happens to us is from the love of God. God doesn't hate us. We don't understand everything, as we said. But God does everything from love. And a nega is God touching you. The Gemara says if somebody is going through a month and nothing happens to him, like everything goes smoothly, like everything he touches is gold, do tshuva. Why? God doesn't care about you anymore. You are at just low level that God doesn't want to deal with you. It's sometimes, you know, you try to educate your kid and you do it again, again, and again, and then you see, you give up. She says, okay, do whatever you want. I don't care. What can I do? I try. It doesn't work. So if somebody feels like this, yefashpesh b'ma'asav, says the Gemara. Look at what you did wrong. Because if God doesn't punish you anything, nothing, everything goes smoothly, something is wrong. Because en tzadik ba'aretz yaseh tov velo yechta. There is no way that somebody is perfect. Because there's always another level. It's like the saying in the Gemara, there was this Tana who used to bring every day a sacrifice for the day before. Why? He says, the way I believe in God today makes me understand that today I did wrong. So in other words, I elevated myself today, which means that yesterday I sinned. So it used to be a sacrifice. Every day used to be a sacrifice because you didn't worship God in the right way yesterday. In other words, there is no stopping. It's like in business. You know, sometimes, you know, you see the business grows and you say, okay, I'm going to stop. You cannot stop. Because business, if you want to do good business, you have to grow with the business. Because if you stop, what's happening?
You fall.
You fall. There is no stopping. And it's sometimes very difficult. But that's business. Don't be in business if you cannot deal with it. And the same way is in a spiritual way. It's like we see, you remember, I did the example with bicycle. Mm-hmm. Not electric bicycle. Yes? It doesn't work with this. Normal bicycle. When it's hard, what does it mean? I'm going up. When it's easy,
you're going
I'm going down.
And when you stop,
and when I stop, I fall. That's life. Life on a bicycle. And this is something we have to understand and realize. So, in other words, today, leprosy today is look at what's happening around you. God is touching you. Things are happening. And you have to understand that they don't happen with no reason. There is reason for everything. Let's say, for example, you know, sometimes you have to look for the reason. That's what we say, Fashresh Bimasaf. Sometimes you see the reason. Let's say somebody goes to wrong places. He goes to wrong place, suddenly his legs are hurting him. Why do my leg hurt? Because I went to places I shouldn't go. I walked, I used my legs to go to a wrong place.
Yosef is always looking. I need to find why happened this for me today. I said, why you need to look for
it? It's right. That's the way. That's everything that happens to somebody has got a reason. You see, it also depends on your level, your connection with God. It's just like when we talk about connection. It says our parsha, Tazria Metzorah, talks about male and female. And the feeling is like male is more than a female. That's the feeling we get when we read the parsha. But we talked about it a lot. It's wrong. Anybody who thinks like this is stupid. Because the idea is very simple. What is a man and a woman? You know, when I've been in Cyprus, there was in Crete, there was the rabbi was there. What he does normally, he gives a lot of lectures about for couples, and he gives a lot of very nice lectures about it. And it's very simple: men are men and women are women, and you cannot change it. And everybody who thinks that you can be the same is stupid. It's like, for example, when you ask a man, how was your day? What is he going to do? Well, it's okay. When you ask a woman, how was your day? You get a lecture for half an hour.
Or more.
Or more.
It can happen the other way.
It can. I'm not saying that not. But the normal thing, that's what it is. In other words, there is a difference between men and women. It's like, you know, when you go and you have a... like a meeting with friends, like an evening with friends. Look, a lot of times what's happening. After 10, 15 minutes, you see the men sitting by themselves and the women by themselves. What happened?
The subject is...
How long does it take a man to get ready to go to a function, to a wedding?
5 minutes.
How long does it take to a woman?
Minutes. 2 hours.
And you know, those are just small samples. We all know there is a difference. So, in other words, what we really do here, what God did, He's taking two opposites and connects them. Now, how do you do a thing like this? How do you do it in the right way?
They complement each other.
You complement each other and you fulfill each other. And so, you remember I told you a story about this a couple that went to the Rav Adam Sinai, they came to him, they wanted to divorce. They have a problem in the marriage, and he's a consultant, he works in a special way, he's a Kabbalist.
Rav Sinai?
Rav Adam Sinai, that's his name. He teaches Kabbalah. And he says, what's the problem? Well, what happens? He says, see, we are in a business together, says the man. And my wife saved the business. I was almost finished and my wife saved the business. But now she's making all my friends go away. And I cannot stand this. Well, how can she do this? So the wife is saying, those are friends. They just come to use you. They use you all the time. Says, so whatever. Says, I said the other day, I have this good friend. Now, we are friends for many years, from childhood. And she's just thrown him out from the office. He said, then the woman is saying, yes, of course, he owes you money, and now he came to take more, and he didn't pay the old debt he's got. So the rabbi says, okay, I understand the problem. I'll give you 10 rules. I'm not going to give the 10 rules. I'm going to talk about the basic thing. The basic thing is very simple. When you come to somebody to consult about marriage, couples, the normal thing that he would say, you have to give up. You have to give up. When you are with another person, you have to learn to give up. Says the Rav Adam Sinai, this is the most stupid things to do. You never give up. What do you mean you never give up? How can you live together if you never give up? He says, you don't give up. You give in. What does it mean? For example, this case we talked about in the past. Let's see if you remember. Is there any way that both sides are going to be satisfied? You see, if I have one and one, if the one and one fighting again, what do we have got? Nothing. Because we fight with each other. Now, if I have one plus one, what do I have?
Two.
So what's better? Tovim ha-shnayim min ha-echad. And that's the idea. The idea is to get together. In other words, we have a problem. Okay, I'm not going to fight. You throw my friend out of the shop, out of the office. You want to give stuff to somebody who owes you money. Of course I throw him out of the office. Now, how do we settle this thing? We sit together and we think, what do I want and what do you want? And let's try and find a solution that is going to combine both things. We have double power. Let's find a double solution. And there is a solution. Very simple. The next time this guy comes to the office and he wants to take more stuff and he owes money, and if he's a real friend, as you said, you're going to explain to him very simply, my dear friend, we just now went almost machol and we're starting to raise up our head, and you still owe me money from the old times, and you know, you have to understand, I cannot just give stuff if you still owe me money and give you, because otherwise the business is going to go down again. Now, if he's a real friend, what is he going to do? He says, you know what? You're quite right. I'm going to try, first of all, to pay you. Now, in this case, are both sides satisfied?
Yeah.
Why?
He doesn't lose his friend, and
and he doesn't give him stuff with no money. In other words, what did the wife want?
Not to give
anything more until he pays the debt he's got. And what did the man want? He wanted to give him with no money. No, what he wanted is to keep his friendship. So you can do both. When there is a chibur, when there is a connection. Not when you fight with each other. In other words, it's not giving up, it's giving in. It's be together. And in life, believe me, it's an unbelievable way to think. In other words, when we talk about our parashiyot, we're talking about this combination of male and female, of a man and a woman.
Negative.
And positive. Positive. Yes.
Negative and positive.
Electricity, how does it work?
Yes.
How does it work? Negative and positive.
That's right.
Otherwise, it doesn't work. There is a shortcut.
Yes, of course.
So, in other words, if we are the same, we cannot be together.
It's a shortcut.
And that's what you have to explain to all those who want to be the same. Men and women want to be the same. Doesn't work. How is this book they wrote? Men are from Mars, or women are from Mars, and men are
from
Venus. And it's true. And there's so many surveys about it, and so many scientists did and tried and looked. Women are women, and men are men. And it's not bad. That's the way it is supposed to be. And the beauty of it is that this is the only way you can build something. Because if you're the same, you build nothing. Only if you fulfill yourself and you have the male that gives and the woman that gets. And another important point we talked about also. When we talk in the Torah about men and women, we're not really talking about men and women the way we think. We're talking about power. There is a male power and a female power. And in each one of us,
it's both.
Normally, when a woman, the female part is going to be stronger than the male part, and with men, the male part is going to be stronger than the female. But we all see in life that sometimes we have a man that his female side is more than the male side. Sometimes even people think that he's gay, but he's not gay. He's just like this, because with him inside, the female power is stronger. Sometimes we see women that the male part is stronger than the female part. So we're talking about forces. But all those forces have also a reflection in real life, in physical way. And the same way, and that's what you have to put in our mind, it works in the spiritual way, it works in the physical way. Men and women are not the same, and they meant to be not the same in order to go together and build this beautiful thing which is called being a couple, marriage, and bring children to the world. That's the way it works. You know, we're talking here also a very interesting point, Bayom HaShmini. He says, when do we do the Brit? On the eighth day. That's within the parsha. One of the interesting questions is, why do we talk here about Brit and don't mention all the things when Avraham Avinu was being ordered to do a Brit? Why do we need it again? And why here we have all those details which we haven't got there? What happened? What's the change? So first of all, for this point, the change is very simple. Avraham Avinu didn't get the Torah. Avraham Avinu didn't have Shabbos. For Avraham Avinu, if it was a question, Brit or Shabbos, what was the simple answer? What do you do?
Brit.
Why? You were not ordered on Shabbos, you were ordered on Brit. But now that we have Shabbos, can somebody come and think, now that we have both, Shabbos and Shabbat, it's Kodesh Kodashim. So if you have a Brit on Shabbos, what do you do?
You don't do
the Brit. So then the Torah came and says, Bayom HaShmini, the eighth day, you do the Brit. And by the way, why the eighth day? Why the eighth day? What not the seventh?
It's above the nature.
And in every 8 day you have a Shabbos. And what's the power of Shabbos? Shabbat Vayinafash. Shabbos is the power that the baby gets, and through this you can do the Brit. Without the Shabbos, you cannot do Brit. The baby, Chas V'Sholom, can something happen to him.
That is why they make it when the baby is born in Shabbos, they make a Pasha.
Shalom Zachar.
Shalom Zachar.
One of the things. Well, Shabbos is the part that gives, and by the way, doctors checked it and saw that you need the 8 days, because on the 8 days something special happens. Now they explain it with we know the simple reason is Shabbos. The same way as the world. The world was not stable till Shabbos came. And each week we get the power from Shabbos. That's Bayom HaShmini. And also the 8 is above nature. So the 8 days, well, there is another important thing with the 8 days, and what is it? Pesach is 7 days. And then we have the 8th day, and the 8th day was Shabbos this time. Now, what's the old idea about those Yom Tovim? We talked about it in the past a lot.